Game one is completed, Nets fans. Make sure to check it out, otgbasketball.com, netsrepublic.com. That's where you can find the Brooklyn Buzz, our recap of today's game. Nick Fay was watching it very, very closely, so we'll be asking him plenty of questions about it. I'm Jack Manuel, Nick Fay. Disappointed, my friend?
Yeah, Jack, you know, definitely disappointing to get another close loss. You know, we're used to it a lot from last season, but, you know, there were still a lot of positives to take from the game. You know, we'll try to be more positive on the Buzz because I know a lot of people are already going crazy on Nets Twitter right now, so we'll kind of be a little bit more optimistic. You know, it was only game one.
It's only game one. They be wild, and make sure you guys are following us, Bulk Talk Radio. OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, iTunes, YouTube, everything else, Dash Radio. But Nick, what were the key takeaways from today's game? Obviously, it was a loss. It was disappointing. But what are the positives and negatives they can take away from today's performance?
You know, we'll start with the positives. You know, Caris LeVert really turned it up today. He had, obviously a career game, scoring 27 points, 10 of 18 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, really attacking the rim. Detroit had a ton of problems staying in front of him. He really took over in that second half. You know, obviously not getting that game-winning shot up at the end and having that turnover hurts, but he'll learn with experience. You know, obviously Jared Allen, monster block on Blake Griffin once again. You know, Blake's going to definitely have nightmares about him. Jared Allen had his presence felt in the paint, definitely defensively, offensively in that first half, had a couple monster dunks, nice spin moves, you know, definitely looked a lot more polished. In the second half, he wasn't as impactful. You know, obviously some of that's with youth and going against Blake and Andre, but, you know, a lot of positive to take away from Jared Allen. And, you know, Joe Harris didn't shoot well, but I was impressed with him being active on the board, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and only 1 of 7 from 3, something that we're not used to seeing from Joe Harris, but, you know, it happens. And then, you know, on the negative side, actually one more positive, Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench, very impressive in that second half, was able to get to the rim with ease, 10 of 18, you know, he was getting a pick and he was just going to the rim, and Detroit really had no answer for it. Ed Davis also was just like a rebound vacuum. I loved him out there, 4 of 4 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. You just really could tell he's just a great veteran to have around this team. The negative side, obviously, D'Angelo only played 24 minutes. He was benched for the last 16. You know, he started the game pretty nicely, had a couple of deflections early on. And then after that, it was just like he kind of got out of his rhythm. He caught a mean elbow in the head from Andre Drummond. It looked like he was bleeding a little bit from his ear. And then he just wasn't the same player. I don't know if that kind of took him out of rhythm or he just like didn't have the right energy. And then obviously Kenny was mad. If I had to say one specific play that really probably pissed off Kenny, there was a play where I'm not sure who was setting the pick, but it was Jared Dudley and D'Angelo Russell playing defense. And both of them sat behind the pick and they just put their arm up and Reggie Jackson got a wide open three. It seemed like Kenny was pretty pissed after that. Also, Nets fans aren't going to be happy. Jared Dudley played 35 minutes, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. You know, he's a smart basketball player, but physically, I don't think he's capable of playing those type of big minutes. And rebounding-wise, to only have 3 rebounds against, you know, a physical team like Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin and putting it all in Jared Allen, it's not going to work out. So I thought that was kind of a negative on Kenny playing Jared Dudley. Obviously, we have the injuries, you know, no Damari, no Allen Crabb, no RHJ. But honestly, I know this is like out of the Nets, you know, system really. I would have maybe went with Ed Davis and Jared Allen at the end, or even Trevion Graham. Offensively, Trevion Graham really didn't do much, but defensively, he was definitely a bigger physical presence.
Yeah, I think a lot of those takeaways are very valid, Nick. I mean, it's always going to be hyperbolic reaction on Twitter and all the social medias. But, you know, if our guys were healthy, you know, you put in Allen Crabb, you put in RHJ, you put in Damari Carroll, do you think the Nets get the win? Obviously, the Pistons had their injury issues as well. But do you think that those 3 guys would have helped us get over the line?
Yeah, I think so. Just for the fact that the Nets shot so bad from 3, 5 of 27, 18.5%. You insert a guy like Allen Crabb, you know, even Damari Carroll, you know, they're probably going to get that number up. And then also at times they're relying a lot on Joe Harris. He played big minutes, and I think Allen Crabb out there, just another fresh body to provide more spacing at times, I think would have really helped. And then we know the type of energy RHJ brings to a team. In that second and third quarter, the Nets got really stagnant at times. I think if you have a guy like Hollis Jefferson out there and get you a couple quick buckets, even a guy like Damari Carroll, we saw last year when the Nets were getting killed on like big runs, he'd kind of do one of those weird pull-up things where he drew a foul and kind of broke down the run. I think missing those 3 guys obviously hurt, and the Nets probably get the win. But like you said, Detroit didn't have Reggie Bullock. They also didn't have Stanley Johnson. So it's somewhat of a wash, but I think those 3 guys for the Nets are probably bigger rotation pieces. But overall, I think the issue was really at that 4 position. Blake Griffin was able to kind of dominate in that second half. And then when Jared Allen had to help, nobody really had his back to protect the rim from Andre Drummond.
Yeah, actually, I remember doing a piece, NetsRepublic.com, as a preview piece. I'm like, where will it be won and lost, things to watch for. And that front court rotation was one thing that I was sort of watching for. At that stage, RH Shea was still questionable and could have played. So I'm like, if we had him, I think that obviously adds something to our front court. You know, he played a lot of four last season. Damari Carroll as well can switch into there. I think when you're versing to maybe one of the best front courts in the NBA, if not the Eastern Conference.
Definitely probably in the East.
Yeah, easily in the East. I mean, Drummond just puts up numbers. Blake Griffin, underrated passer, and just does some insane things, despite the fact that, you know, Jared Allen had his number on a couple of occasions already. But was it, Nick, was it about the Nets lost this game, or did Detroit play better? Or was it sort of like a flip of the coin and just the fact at the end of the day that, you know, Detroit are a little bit more of a hardened team, you know, got a little bit more experience under their belt, and sort of they just know how to sort of grind out those wins rather than, you know, the Nets sort of being able to get the respectable losses as we always have?
You know, obviously I'm a Nets fan, but I feel like the Nets blew this game. You know, they had the opportunity. They started really strong energy-wise, getting stagnant in that second and third quarter. Also, the free throw line, 15 to 22, 68%. You know, hit your free throws, you win the game. Knock down a couple more threes. You know, there's a couple stupid fouls. You know, one that really sticks out, obviously, is a rookie. But Rodion's at the end of the third quarter. You know, Blake was about to shoot a half-court shot, and he fouled him, getting him two more free throws. And, you know, that really hurt. And obviously in a, you know, a game that's decided by a few points, that's really going to matter a lot. And then I think offensive rebounding wise, you know, obviously some of it is playing Jared Dudley, but they were, you know, on the boards. They only lost by, I think, seven boards, but Detroit had 14 offensive rebounds and the turnover area was pretty bad. You know, they started the game with only two turnovers in the first quarter and then 15 the rest of the way. If they're able to get that turnover number down, they probably win this game.
Yeah,
and it's ironic that the, you know, their last chance to win the game ended with a turnover.
Yeah, I think that was a real problem throughout the preseason for us. I think I put that in my piece. It's like they're reading my pieces on NetsRepublic.com, Nick. But I think taking care of the ball, you know, even Spencer Dinwiddie, from reading his stats and from what I've seen and chatting to you a little bit, you know, he was, you know, uncharacteristically turning over the ball, giving the ball back. So yeah, you can't give the ball back to a team that has, you know, some offensive talent that can certainly make you pay. Ish Smith, I think, is a little bit of an underrated player as well. And from what
he does well against the Nets.
He does. It seems like always those guys like Vucevic, those underrated guys that are talented, but always put it together against our Nets. But Nick, what do the Nets need to do going into their home opener, which you'll be there live? What do they need to do to get the win against the Knicks?
I think number one, they need to keep that energy high. They played with the same energy they played with the first, you know, half of the, even the, just the entire first quarter. Great off ball movement, active hands defensively. You saw them really get their hands in the passing lanes, get a couple easy steals, easy fast break points. That really didn't happen the rest of the game. They need to keep doing that, especially against a young Knicks team that doesn't necessarily have a ton of veterans, a ton of great playmaking guards, and then also turnovers. You know, 17 turnovers is just too much, especially when the game's close like that. I think you need to get that number down a little bit. Hit your free throws. And obviously, you know, some of the three-point shots might have been bad shots, but you just need to make your shots. You know, when a guy like Joe Harris, he's not going to go 1 of 7. If we have Alan Crabb back, he's going to play a little bit better. I think, you know, on the boards, we're going to go up against Enes Kanter, who is a monster, and he's really hit the gym this offseason. I think you really need to box out and help out Jared Allen, especially when he's bringing rim protection. Nobody really had his back on a couple plays, and I think that really hurt.
Yeah, we can't rely on, you know, a 20-year-old rookie in his second season, despite, you know, all the growth that he's shown. And, you know, he's been awesome in the preseason and in this first game. Nick, give me a prediction for the Knicks game. And one, I'll give you one question afterwards. But do you think the Nets get it done in their home opener? Or you'll be there, mate. In fact, if you guys want to slide into the DMs, you know, catch up with Nick at the game, you know, at OGD Nick, you know, I'm sure he'll have a beer. He'll talk some Nets with you. He talks about Nets with me on a near hourly basis.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, definitely hit me up if you want to talk at the game. You know, I'll probably be grabbing some food beforehand and whatnot. I'll be around. Don't bother me during the game, though, because I'll definitely be locked in. Bringing, you know, what I'll do, like, I've definitely always bring crazy energy when I go to the game. I think that's what the Nets really need, is they need that, you know, fan base to give them that extra juice to stay active the whole 48 minutes. And I think overall, you know, D'Angelo, we really didn't talk about him a ton. And he just needs to be in rhythm, in sync the whole game. You know, offensively, he missed a couple shots, and then he just kind of got out of it. You know, he still had 5 assists. Bringing that energy defensively, I think that's one thing, you know, I can appreciate about your boy Joe Harris. Even when he didn't have a great shooting night, he provided other valuable, you know, attributes to the game in talking rebound and talking assists. You know, just those hustle plays. I think D'Angelo, we want to see that. And I think just keep going. And then, you know, I think a big factor for them is going to be health. I think they'll need, you know, either Rondé or Alan Crabb to be healthy, because they're going to miss those guys. I don't want to see Jared Dudley play over 20 minutes, you know, let alone 35.
Yeah, and with that 35 minutes, Nick, obviously that was a coaching decision. So evaluate Coach Kenny's performance, his rotation after game one. Obviously, there are plenty of Nets fans out there, and it was a storyline of ours when we did the season preview about what Coach Kenny, how is he going to develop now he has the talent at his disposal. How do you evaluate his performance? You know, the D'Lo benching, the Dudley minutes, and all the rest.
I think the Dudley situation, I don't like that move from my perspective. I think there was times where, like I said, physically he just couldn't do it. You know, Trevion Graham would have been a better option. I know Dudley in the beginning of the game was calling out some sets that the Pistons were running. He's definitely a heady player. But when you're getting killed on the boards like that, at certain plays, getting killed inside, I think you need to bring somebody in and maybe go against what the style of play you usually play and maybe bring in Ed Davis or Fareed. I honestly wouldn't have even been opposed to seeing more Rodions. I know he had a couple, you know, stupid plays, but he is a rookie. And I think the D'Angelo situation, there's probably more to it. And I'm sure he got annoyed over one specific thing he really did and was like, all right, I'm going to bench you. And I think the way that Karis and Dinwiddie were playing in that second half, they were really dominant. Like I said, nobody could stay in front of Caris LeVert. You know, Reggie Jackson got schooled a couple times. Karis also put the clamps on Reggie Jackson on the other end a couple times. And like I said, Dinwiddie was just killing in the pick and roll game, really attacking Drummond and Zaza Pachulia. So I'm not opposed to those two playing. Maybe I would have tried to get D'Angelo in there a little bit more. Maybe I would have got another veteran. I think it's another situation where like we can't completely analyze Kenny because there were so many injuries tonight, especially from guys he relies on. We know Damari Carroll was a big vet for him last year. Crabbe played good minutes, and RHJ was that energy booster, especially defensively.
Yeah, it'll certainly be something that we watch throughout the season. And the D'Lo situation, he said throughout the season, you know, there was a point at training camp where he had literally like one turnover and only one turnover during like the scrimmages. And, you know, Coach Kenny got a little bit mad at him. And, you know, D'Lo reacted in a way where he's like, I don't mind it. You know, if you want to coach me. That's what I want. One of the first times in his career that he's had, you know, a consistent coach over the time period. So hopefully, you know, it's just a flash in the pan and we see D'Lo back at his best. Obviously, you can't expect a full 82-game season. He's not going to be like a full-on superstar straight away. But the fact that we have guys like Karis and Spencer, and, you know, hope the Shabazz is back and healthy sooner rather than later. But yeah, Nick, as always, thank you for joining me, mate. I appreciate you taking the time, and all the Nets fans, make sure you find us, you know, Blog Talk Radio, OGDBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, iTunes, all those platforms, YouTube. Hit us up. You know, we want to hear your thoughts, and, you know, be they rational or irrational. It is only game one, my friends. Game two is upon us very soon, and, you know, Nick, you'll be there and live. It'll be awesome for you.
Yes, exactly, Jack. Always a pleasure talking Nets with you, and I just want to shout out Karis LeVert again because he looked as good as I've seen him his entire career, where he was just so dominant at points where they couldn't stay in front of him. And I'm really excited to see what he can do Friday against the Knicks, and hopefully they come away with that W.
Yeah, hopefully that Karis's agency doesn't get a restraining order against Nick Faye if he's listening to this podcast.
Honestly, you know, if Karis drops 30, I'm going to go nuts on Friday. I'm just letting you know that now. And Jared Allen has even a bigger game. I'm going to go nuts. So I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I know, like we said, there was a lot of negatives that did happen, but there was a ton of positives. And I'm really excited for the season. After I got over that, like, 10-minute period where I was, like, disappointed they lost another close game, you know, there's a lot of excitement to be happy about.
Yes, sir. We're buzzing. We hope you are as well. Hashtag buzzing, guys. Yeah, get around our boys. You know, there's still 81 games to go, and, you know, the playoffs are still within reach.